October 16th, 1993. The Americana Orchestra under Ted Unseth, with their special guest Benny Waters, a saxophonist supreme at age 91 at this time, and a concert setting that has the sound and feeling of another day and time. Here we are listening to music that was composed and performed Kansas City in 1933. But the actual sound of this, a dateline October 16th, 1993, St. Paul, Minnesota, Bandana Square, and the Americana Orchestra under the direction of Ted Unseth. And Ted, once again, welcome into Minnesota Public Radio. Take us through the personnel who soloed here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see. I think Dave Sletten probably had a solo in there. The main thing is Benny Waters took two courses. I thought he was only going to take one, but he took two. And I'm glad he took two because it just kind of builds and builds and builds. And he seemed to understand that that tune came from 1933. That his style of playing that solo seemed to me like one of the young guys back then playing that solo. Pretty cool, boy. I didn't know he was going to take two choruses, but he did, and it all worked out pretty great. And I think the energy... Oh, Butch Thompson on the piano, of course, the piano solo.
Yes.
Stride piano like that.
Oh, my.
Off the cuff.
Yes.
You know? He's one of the greatest. I remember I had moments where I wasn't out front. I was off to the side sitting at somebody's table. But just watching Butch's hands. He's got big hands, one. But... he looked like he was sort of reading a book or casually, his touch. He's been playing the piano for so long, he understands the piano so well. It looked effortless, but of course it was just, wow. So it was great to have him, really great to have him. That's Toby. Toby from 1933, Count Basie, Benny Moten. You know the story about Count Basie. He's from New Jersey, right? Isn't that Red Bank, New Jersey?
Yes.
He was on the road. He was in Kansas City looking for a job. He comes up to Benny Moten, who's the piano player with his own orchestra, and he says, Mr. Moten, I want to play piano for your orchestra. Oh, really? Yes. Well, can I play? He played so beautifully. Benny Moten hired him, and he got an extra piano. There were two piano players because... Bill Basie impressed him so much. That's the history of that there. But you know what? I would like, can I put the history of my orchestra in perspective? Just like a couple, three sentences worth, maybe?
Please do.
Okay. 1973 is when we put it all together. So from 73 to 1980 would be what I call the early phase, where we had a bunch of young people, including myself. I didn't know what I was doing exactly, but we learned as we went along. And the philosophy was note for note accuracy. Transcribe the tunes from the recordings and then try to play it, not just the notes, but to get the feel, too. And I'm telling you, some of the young guys back then, they studied and studied and studied, listened to tapes over and over and over again. I'll just give you one example. Joe Demko, who was, a featured vocalist with the band, but also banjo. He studied some of those recordings, listening in between the horns and listening to some of those banjo guys back in the 20s were wild. They played wild banjo. And Demko picked up on that. Every player, back in those days, somehow we had the time to put a lot of research into it. And so that was the early phase. 1980 to 1984 was a partnership phase. I lost a really great manager in 1979. Things kind of fell apart. Formed a partnership. So 80 to 84 would be the partnership years of the Wolverines Classic Jazz Orchestra. 84 is when I lost ownership of the name. So I couldn't use that name anymore. And for six more years in the Twin Cities, I tried to use the American Classic Jazz Orchestra title, but it didn't go anywhere. I moved to D.C. 16 years later, I find out, why did I move to D.C.? There's no music appreciation there. I'm back here, and now you're calling it the Americana Orchestra, but if you don't mind, I'd like you to call it the Americana Classic Jazz Orchestra. It's exactly the same philosophy as the early band, just a million years later, but I'm still going to do it. Did I say that right now?
Ted, that's wonderful. And we'd like to catch up with you a little bit later, but
okay.
Meantime, help us get into this alliance with Benny Waters at the age of 91. You did, in our first conversation, give us the background of that. And as this night unfolded, and this concert unfolded, what did you observe in Benny's...
Well, off stage, backstage, you know, when he came into the airport, whatever, and we had to accommodate him and so on, he seemed a tad grumpy, to tell you the truth. a little bit on edge. He wasn't really pleased with his reed and his saxophone when we were rehearsing. He wasn't really pleased with the sound man because the microphone had to be in just the right place in front of the bell of his horn. And he was basically blind, you know, so he had to feel for it and stuff. So I remember him saying during the concert, in the middle of 1-2, and he just said it to me. I don't think you could have heard it, but he said, "You're killing me, man. You're killing me, man." Because the sound wasn't quite right, you know. And I felt sorry for the sound man. But, you know, all in all, the cuts that we saved for this particular CD, sound was very good. And how could Benny Waters in Europe for 40-some years, people had lost track of him. It was almost like the story that we tell about Jabbo Smith when we had him back in the 70s. Nobody knew he was around anymore, but Dave Sletten and his wife found out that he was living in Milwaukee. We came, had him to the Commodore Hotel in St. Paul, and an old cat that might have been forgotten kind of got remembered again. Same with Benny. I really think he played, let's see, out of the envelope when he played with us. I've heard some of his CDs with smaller ensembles and so on, and they're pretty good, but wow, I think he really stepped up to the plate for us, and we were so lucky to have that, and we've got it on disc and to be remembered forever. 91 years old, my mother at 91 could recognize me maybe, but she surely couldn't play alto saxophone like that. I don't know how he did it, but we were very fortunate. I just accidentally found out that he was in the United States again, and we lucked out and got him. Yeah.
Well, I just want to say to you that we want to talk more about this adventure on this particular day, and in the future we'll be talking about other aspects of what you're going to do. But meantime, at this stage of the concert, it seems that Benny has just talked to the audience, and he,
yeah,
and there he's warming up his alto, and Butch Thompson is over there, and Ron Evenhook on bass.
Evenhook on bass.
And
fabulous bass player.
Benny's Blue Waters is about to unfold.
Okay, now, are you going to play the part where he talks a little bit?
We'll talk about that later, but meantime, the music of Benny's Blue Waters...
That's his signature tune.
Yes.
And the rhythm section, they had one rehearsal without the drummer before, but I'm telling you, it sounds like they played with him forever. They did beautifully.
Speaking of the drummer, Phil Hay.
Yes, and Tim Sparks, and Ron Evenhook. I mean, they sound like they were his group for years. They're that good.
Once again, we'll look for you in about an hour or so as send out more of this sound of this very special night and day.
I like singing the praises of the local musicians that I had. They were just fabulous.
Thank you very much for sitting in with us.
Okay, Lay.
An alto saxophonist, renowned, home-based in Boston in his youth, and a student and scholar at the New England Conservatory, and he wailing on this day and night, October 16th, 1993, under the heading of Ted Unseth, the Americana Classic Orchestra, and that theme, Benny Waters' composition, Benny's Blues. Benny Waters' Blues. Blue Waters.